I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair, and
my knee hurts.
My arms
is this
kind
a rash?
Of just that a rash? And I had Asian food, and that makes me
What's
feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant.
Welcome to Definitely Dying.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
We are here for you. I'm not a successful binge watcher.
Anything?
No. I'm currently watching Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
I watched 4 episodes over the Christmas break when nothing else was on television.
Yeah.
And I have not remembered to watch episode 5 since.
Well, yeah. I think that means – so I love to binge a show. But more and more now that, like, binging is so available to us, my interest evaporates a lot more quickly. So, like back in the day when you had to buy DVDs to binge a show, like, some of my favorite TV watching experiences – ever were like binging this bizarre HBO show that was canceled and ended very abruptly. None of it resolved in a satisfying way, but I still loved it. Carnival.
Oh, yeah. I watched Carnival. It was great.
I love Carnival. Mm-hmm. And I binged it with my whole family over a Christmas. Like, and I remember going to Best Buy, buying the second season, and how like deliciously naughty that felt to be like, we're going to watch another 18 hours of TV or however long it is. And the same thing with like the next Christmas, we watched Dexter the same way. And then right about that time was when you started being able to stream everything on Netflix, and it was like, easy to binge things. And I would say, like, I had a really fun experience binging Breaking Bad with Ben. We binged that together. And then I haven't had, like, Drag Race is since then, this is the first time I've experienced that same rush of just, like, being so gleefully excited that something is available to you at your fingertips that you can just, like, consume it enough that it's too much.
Yeah.
And every other thing I've watched since then has either been very short or I've forgotten to finish it.
I find that once life starts back up, binging is one part of life and productivity is like another part of life, and just like there is that chunk of time between Thanksgiving and New Year's where basically just nothing happens. I don't know about where you live, because you guys, like, not you, Madeline, but like those of you who are listening out in like the normal world, we live in Los Angeles where there's like, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 days of hard work every year. And then the rest of the time we're all just sort of like waiting around for something to happen.
The rest of the time everybody's like, we're gearing up for X, Y, Z, like for put any word in front of the word season and someone's always gearing up.
And in the meantime, everyone is just at LA Fitness on an elliptical machine with RuPaul in front of their faces. And this is a very normal thing. And it's great. I wish I would have, I'll be honest. I didn't love Stranger Things. I didn't dislike it by any means, but I have so little nostalgia in my life that like that 80s theme kind of didn't do anything for me. And I liked the kids. Everybody was fine, but it wasn't enough that like I went through that, you know, they have this sort of Madeline thing where like I desired to have more downtime. I desired to have an excuse for more downtime. Yes. Instead it was just sort of like, okay, life's back, you know, basically Stranger Things was just a commercial break in my life. But the one I do really want to binge watch, and I haven't had a chance to even watch the first episode, is that new, what do you call it? The one, the Lemony Snicket.
Netflix. I thought that was a movie.
Oh, no, that's like a 10 episode first season. there was the Lemony Snicket movie that came out. And now there's this new series starring a series of unfortunate events. Starring Neil Patrick Harris.
I've read a couple of those books and I love them.
Another thing, I read all of them except for the last book and then just like never got around to it.
I think that's healthy. I think that's like what it looks like when like real life takes a precedent over escapism?
I agree with you. I think you're 100% correct across the board. I think in my case, it's actually probably not a great thing. Mm. Like, it's probably an example of my fear of something ending and outside of my control. Oh. That, like, if I read that last book, it's over and then I have to feel sad. But just having it there, the potential exists to have another one. I think I have a hard time. I think I have a hard time getting hooked on a thing and letting it go.
Yeah.
It's easier for me to just decide I'm not going to go full bore.
You quit everything. Like, this is not this is the thing you have said to me that you do is like, quit everything after a certain amount of time. Cause it feels almost like the entertainment version of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Hey guys, I'm broken.
should we start the podcast?
Yeah, let's see who else is broken.
Yeah. All the broken people out there.
Hands up.
Hands up. Keep listening. Not hands up if you're driving.
Yeah. Hey, if you got a at least a funny and not terribly sad story of how you feel like you're broken, tweet it at us.
Tweet it at us. Guys. We have a great guest. I'm really excited. You know him from a variety of places. You know him from the sketch supergroup Big Grande, just four of your favorite dudes being very funny. Mm-hmm. They do a really funny podcast. It's so funny. You really got to listen to it. It's called Teacher's Lounge. You can find it on Howl FM. It's so very funny. Do yourself a favor. And you can see him live doing improv with the team Winslow every Friday at 9:30 at UCB Franklin. Guys, we have John Mackey.
Hello.
Hi.
It's me.
It's me.
I'm here.
It's me, everybody. You've been waiting so long, and now I'm here.
I was, this is not terribly relevant to anything, but we've been... Ben and I, my husband Ben, not this Ben, have been watching Drag Race for the first time. Mm. And we're watching, it was upon the recommendation of a friend, we're starting with season 6 because it's supposed to be the best season. And they just had a talk show episode where one of, the very best queens got eliminated simply because she kept calling Chaz Bono Chad in the talk show challenge, which just made me, I thought, wouldn't it be funny if I introduced you as the wrong person and you just had
Jake
to go
Mackey.
Hi, nice to meet you.
But thank you for having me.
So Jake.
Me. Jake Mackey.
Yeah, thank you for having me, you guys.
Oh, thank you.
So you got your two tall boys a Diet Coke.
I do.
We're ready to go.
32 ounces, baby.
All right, so let's start it off the way we always start it off. On a scale of 1 to 10, John, how much do you think about death?
Currently, I would say probably in the 4 to 5 range.
Okay.
But there was a time in my life when I was younger where I would say 14.
Really?
14.
Yeah. Yes.
Wait, so you didn't understand 1 through 10.
No.
You had a math problem.
Yeah, yeah. I thought about numbers. Wait, is that what we were doing?
Yeah.
When I was a kid, it was a big problem.
Really?
What age is?
Yeah, probably 10, from 10 until 15.
Wow.
I was just every night I would go in these crazy anxiety tailspins of thinking about my parents dying, and then that would make me think about me dying, and then I would get in these loops about when you're dead, it's forever, and the concept of forever started to scare me, and I would literally have nervous breakdowns in the middle of the night and have to go and get my mom, wake my mom up and be Mom, I'm freaking out. There's multiple instances in my childhood of not being able to go to sleep and having to go and get my mom just to remind me that hey, I'm not going to die soon. You're not going to die soon.
Yeah.
And it really messed. I was I went through a really crazy phase.
What? Why do you? Where do you think that came from?
I think I really don't know. I think because I, as a kid, didn't really experience death a lot.
Mm.
I had one uncle die when I was maybe 8 or 7,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't an uncle that I had a close relationship with. So I didn't have an experience with someone dying that triggered it. So I really don't know why I got this obsession. I think the thing that was the scariest thing to me wasn't dying. I don't think dying was the thing I was obsessed with. It was the concept of infinity.
Yeah.
And the foreverness of dying.
Yeah.
And how in my brain, just the idea of doing anything forever was terrifying. And like being dead means you're not doing life forever.
Right.
Again. Yeah.
Like it's like it's still when I think about
that
it like this,
trips me out. Yeah, that
like being
I think-
like. I'm like, when you're dead for the rest of forever. And like, who knows what that means?
Right.
Yeah.
But it's when you're like little kid and you're like starting to think about that, it starts to be terrifying.
Yeah.
When you're a little kid, like a whole year feels like infinity.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, everything feels eternal. But, you know, like I remember, I think we've talked about it on this podcast. Like I got a couple of my teeth knocked out when I was like 12 or something like that in a little baseball accident. Mm-hmm. And I remember like, crying, going, my dad taking me a car and crying that my life was over. At the top of my lungs, like, my life is over. And I really felt it.
Because you used to be a teen girl.
Because I used to be, I was a 12-year-old lady. I was going through changes. No, like, it was just that feeling that, like, anything that happens to you, you're going to feel forever. And that that's part of growing up. But, like, at that young age, the idea of eternity, like, if you were actually wrestling with this idea of permanence that...
Yeah.
It would be overwhelming on every level.
I think the thing was, it's like, I think I was like experiencing a thought that was like way too big for me.
Yes.
And I don't know why. Like, so it was like there, I think that that's the whole thing is like, I don't know why I was thinking about this, but I was thinking about this concept that I, as an 11-year-old kid or however young, like just couldn't understand.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it like just sent me in this insane tailspin where like every night I was just, I was literally like having nervous breakdowns.
Right.
That's, when did it start? Stop. Do you-
I don't remember like a like specific time when it stopped, but like once I like became a teenager and like started like doing stuff.
Right.
And like I think like once I stopped being so dependent on my parents, I think maybe that was part of it. Like I started to like go out and do other things and like realize that like, oh, life isn't sitting at home and staring at your parents all day. Right. It's like going out and living and doing stuff. Because, and I also think part of it is that I am like extremely attached to my mom. Mm. Like I have like an extremely like close relationship with her. So I think that that, like the idea of that changing or that being different is terrifying to me.
Yeah. Still.
Like, yeah. Cause like even moving out here, like I moved to LA almost 9 years ago. And like the day I was leaving, like my mom took me to the airport and I was like, I had this like moment in the airport of just being like, everything that my life was is now completely different. Mm. I'm not going to see, I'm going to see her maybe once or twice a year.
Yeah.
We're going to talk occasionally, but it's like everything that I know is totally different and it's never going to go back to what it was.
Yeah.
And I think that that's like, it's crazy just to think about. And I think, I still think about that a lot. It doesn't cause me anxiety, but I think about how, time moves forward. It doesn't.
Yes.
There's no going back.
Right.
Like the idea that, like, in my brain, like high school was awesome and so fun, and college was so awesome and so fun. But now I'm just never gonna do that again.
Yeah.
Like I'm never gonna go back to having those experiences. And I think that that all kind of funnels back into the same like sort of mental issue that I have, which is like I'm terrified of like. Eternity.
Yeah. So but what's interesting though is that it seems like you're equally affected by impermanence. Like the idea that like high school is in the past, that like you can never go back to it, that these things like that now that there's that moment when you're immersed in something where permanence, like the idea of permanence takes on, you know, sort of, I guess, one representation. And then after the fact, nothing really is permanent. I mean, that's the thing, except for like the part of it, the part of life that is permanent is the part that you don't get to experience. And every other part of it is fleeting, you know?
Yeah.
That, like, you don't get to hold on to the good things any more than like you get to push away the bad things. Like, we just sort of experience it all in the amount of time that it takes to experience it. And then it's in your rear view. And John, you're going to cry.
No, dude, it's real. It's real. It is. I think life is just so complex, man.
And
the point you're making is great, which is like, I think maybe I'm just like the experience of life is a thing that I like think about a lot in all of its facets, mm-hmm. the experience of having lived and the experience of continuing to live. And the experience of, like, when living is not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, what happens when you die? Who knows, man? what if the lights go out and then everything else is just different? Like, what's different? What changes?
And that
it's got everything changes.
And that's why, I mean, that's why heaven exists the way that it exists. You know, like the concept of heaven exists because ultimately, like that feeling that you're talking about with like at the airport leaving your mom behind is how people feel on a deathbed. That like at some point I'm going to get to spend more time with my mother who passed away. You know,
yeah,
when
like she's
I finally
passed. She's there. Yeah. I'm going there.
Yeah,
when really.
Who knows?
She ain't there.
Well, do you have any feelings about an after, like what happens after you die?
I don't know. I think if heaven and hell exist, that's the silliest thing that's in.
It's bad.
Can you imagine?
Like, it's just
so
like
silly.
The idea, like hell is funnier than heaven to me.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like the idea that there's like a club that just exists to like make you feel terrible. Like,
and you're like, there forever.
And the universe feels a need to have that. Like, it's like, I mean, worst case scenario, just turn the lights out and let me just stop existing.
Yeah. Right.
Like, but that seems so funny to me, the idea that you like die and then you wake up and you're either in the perfect place or like a place that's designed to be all of the bad things you have.
Yeah,
like,
which is so funny that would even, that they're, the idea that there's an objective bad place is so funny.
Yeah, I think that's the thing too.
That's
like,
what I believe
one
in.
Of the arguments.
Every day. What I believe it is that it's basically the afterlife is Harvard and community college. If you got all A's and you aced your SATs, you're going to Harvard. Everybody else is going to hell. That's what I believe. I'll see you guys later.
Where are you going?
Hell. Yeah. I'm not a good student.
Also, I mean, not to get super religious, but like,
no,
I think that's
do.
Like my argument against sort of the objectivity of religion.
Yes.
Like, is that like, how can you say what's right for everyone? Like in terms of like the idea that hell is designed to punish people who sin and heaven is designed to reward people who don't sin. It's like, how do you know what a reward for me is?
Yes.
If the thing you've set up to be the reward isn't the thing that I want in my life, then like why would I want to go there?
Yeah.
And it's also like, if that's the case and everybody's just like, oh well, it's the thing that you want, and it's like, okay, so heaven, I get my own personal heaven, so that must mean that it's not the same heaven that my mom's going to.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to heaven, I'm going to my own heaven, and if my mom's there, she's fake. She's a simulation.
She's like, there for you.
She's there for me. And in that case, if this thing's just made for me and it's not actually me talking to my mom, then why am I even going there?
Dude,
I mean,
it's all a simulation.
What if we are? So I've had a couple, Ben has gotten preoccupied with simulations, like Ben Green, we had a couple conversations about it, but like, okay, what if? So I think heaven would turn in to a hellish existence if you knew it was eternity.
Yeah.
What if we are in heaven right now? What if, like, white privileged America, where the only problems we have are like reading about somebody else's problems and feeling bad about them? What if this is fucking heaven and we are simply dead souls living in a way that's like it's so perfectly designed to be comfortable that we even have the simulation of problems enough that we don't get bored?
Right. That's interesting. The idea, because that's also a reason that I'm scared of heaven, is like, if you get to eat ice cream all the time, ice cream starts to suck.
Yeah.
Right? And this scenario you just set up, I think, is my ideal version of what the afterlife is.
I agree.
Just like, if I'm not in heaven already and I'm not dead, when I die, just give me another like mediocre life that I can work to make better.
I wouldn't agree. Like, truly, like, this sounds insane, but like, I often think, like, when someone, like, asks a hypothetical question of, like, oh, if you could, like, have this amount of money, or if, like, you could, like, you know, like, trade, like, I don't know, like, if you could have whatever, like, anything you want, I often have the thought, like, I would not want my life to be any different.
Yeah.
It's not that I love it all the time, but it's, like, what a cool thing to be able to do a life where, like, you have stuff you want, you have stuff that works well, you have stuff that doesn't work well, like, but it's like,
well, it's like the idea that, like, you can't experience joy unless you've experienced sorrow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, life is so good because life is so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if life is always good, like, I think then you start to, I think it's kind of like the thing of like why like I think celebrities and people who have everything that they want get bored because it's like once everything is good, good stuff starts to seem bad.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, oh, I'm making all these movies. That movie only paid me $3 million when the last movie I did paid me 10.
Yeah.
That movie sucks.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? No.
No.
That movie paid you $3 million, but you have no frame of reference.
Yeah.
You're not getting these like, hey, we need you to come to Santa Monica at 4:30 in the afternoon to read one line and get paid $22.
Yeah.
We're going to take taxes out of that also, by the way, so it's going to be $7. But there's going to be Subway sandwiches and all of the bottled water you can drink.
Yes.
It's like,
sounds like heaven
like you don't have those negative experiences.
No.
To make that sweet experience of like, hey, you're gonna come and do one line on a TV show at Warner Brothers, and we're gonna give you a trailer, and you're gonna get paid thousands of dollars. And you, if you don't have those two separate experiences, neither one stands out as good or bad, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I think that if heaven is just like everything that you want happening all the time, I think we'll all turn into monsters.
Yeah.
Everyone in heaven is a monster. Yeah.
I think heaven is a sense of progress. Like, it's true, like, you know, like, because, like, even, like, I feel like
steady progress.
Yeah, like, a sense of, like, wanting something, and even if that, like, the thing you want evolves, but or maybe a sense of, I'm going to change progress to purpose.
Yeah.
I feel like that's, and it's, again, I feel like we're speaking, like, I mean this from a standpoint of, like, living a life of, like, such deep luxury that I can ask myself what my purpose is. Like, I truly feel like there are, like, many, many, many more people in the world who, like, their lives are dictated a lot more by, like, fear or necessity because, like, we are just, like, living, like, in the easiest chunk of a world that's, like, fucked a lot of people.
Yeah.
But so what more could we want than to, like, most of the time not be scared?
Yeah.
And to have a kind of a sense of what we want to hopefully happen one day in our lives.
Yeah.
I'm gonna throw out this as an alternative.
Yeah.
Because the older I get, the more I feel this thing, which is that if you could turn off all the feelings, I'd be so much better off.
Really?
That, like, that the idea of feelings. That the idea of, like, this is good in comparison to this, which is bad, like, does nothing for me. Like,
really?
I would much rather not want ice cream because I don't need to feel better ever. Like, I don't need something sweet and enjoyable in my life. It would just be that, like, food is sustenance and you put it in your body and
then
we go to heaven and you don't have food.
What's the purpose of living? If
that's the
there's
thing.
Not a pursuit of happiness or pursuit of pleasure, what is the purpose in living?
That's the thing.
Just
we don't. I don't know because we don't feel anything. But my feeling is that when I get to heaven, I don't want to. What's that?
You just want to be numb.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe
take some antidepressants and anxiety medication and just dull yourself completely.
I think
more
a
or less.
A lot of people are living in that heaven, man.
No, I think so. I mean, I don't think that I don't think that the possibility of things going good or bad is happiness. I think that I think not caring one way or the other, that like the gist is that if you ask a question that you can't answer, that you can't accept both answers to, then you're really not asking a question. You're begging for a result. And so I'm not saying that I necessarily feel this way. I'm saying the alternative to that is to say that that heaven is, you know, heaven is void of either of those feelings. Heaven is void of any sort of like consequence to your decisions.
I think that is true too.
Maybe.
Yeah. The part of that I do agree with is like, I mean, we'll just say hypothetically just because heaven is real. Let's say that.
Let's say, great.
I think that there's absolutely no way that the perception of reality in heaven is the same as it is.
Sure.
No.
When you die, everything changes. And I think that, like, the idea that we, like, sort of, we put, like, real world, like, psychology into this, like, afterlife scenario is so funny to me. Because there's absolutely no way that consciousness exists the way that it does on Earth.
Yeah.
I mean, not no way. I have no clue. But like, the idea that we're presuming that, oh, you die and then you go to an actual place that is heaven and you are just your human self still.
Yes.
But like in a new form.
It's like the prettiest version of your own self.
Me dropping like 70 pounds. Like, I'm not, I have a great head of hair, not losing all my hair. My beard comes in full and not patchy. I'm not scared to go to the dentist, so I get my teeth problems fixed. Let's see. What else?
You got a lot to work out on Earth before you go anywhere.
I deal with my crippling digestive issues. That's not true. I don't have digestive. I do get diarrhea a lot.
Me too.
Yeah.
Why do you think you get
diarrhea?
Because
all I eat is Chipotle and I drink soda. Yeah, exclusively.
Yours could not be more obvious.
Yeah. I mean, I don't need a doctor to describe to me why my stomach is
fucked up. Is just like, why does diarrhea exist?
And then Here's my question. Every adult person I know who's not like a crazy fitness nut has weird bowels or has like weird intestines. I think when you get older, you just start having diarrhea all the time.
In America, I think.
The diets we have, even if you, I mean, look,
I think
if you eat out once a week, you're getting poisoned.
Yeah.
Just the way it is. All the like preservatives and whatnot that you're eating, that's going to mess our stomachs up.
Yeah.
But so the idea of like having normal digestive health at an age past like 17, I think is a myth. tweeted me on Twitter. If you have a normal digestive system, tweet at It's John Mackey on Twitter and let me know.
Yeah. Hashtag 18 poops.
Hashtag never stop shitting.
What are you... Okay, so now, so you don't have the same kind of crippling fear of like eternity.
No.
Has that been replaced? What brings your death meter up to even just a 4 or 5?
Well, I think that for me, I think that I've like gotten to a place where I'm just, I accept the fact that I'm gonna die. So I don't ever, like, there's not really, like, I don't, like, nothing spikes.
Yeah.
Like, there's not, like, something that could, aside from, like, actually almost dying.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing that's going to make me be, like, scared of dying anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I'm scared of that anymore. I think, like, there's, like, times where things will happen where I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, is that more the question?
Yeah.
Like, what makes me think about it? Well, like, recently my grandma died. I don't know. I think you guys have heard this story. But, like, that... experience of like as an adult going to a funeral of a person who I had a relationship a very like close relationship with as a kid, like that experience like made me really start to think about it. But it was also, it was weird because it was the first time that like I experienced that like that thought process without getting like anxious and like scared. Like when I went to the funeral, like I walked in and like my grandma was like in her casket and like I was like emotional, like it made me sad. But it wasn't the type of thought process that I had when I was younger where it like spiraled me out of control into thinking about me being dead, my mom being dead, other people. It was like it was more like that was, it was like just this like spike in like sort of sadness about like, oh, these memories that I have now are like, there's like a button on that, like a period on that story, and that story's over.
Yeah.
And it's like, that experience, I think, made me think about it, but it didn't cause me like the anxiety that I used to get when I was a kid.
It's not about death. It's about someone close to you has passed, and you don't get to be with them any longer.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably something that happens more and more as we get older. You start to have like these... very real interactions with people who will everyone's eventually going to pass away, but we have very real interactions with them, and then those build up over time, and that becomes like the story of your life with this person, and that comes to an end. We've accepted that like all of life will end, but the great reality is that like there are 8 million people on this planet, and
way more than that.
Eight billion people on this planet. 8 million people. 8 billion people on this planet, and you're gonna have like a close relationship with like a dozen of them.
Yeah,
you know, death in general, 8 billion.
Yeah,
the proximity of death, like a dozen, where you're gonna like cry your eyes out when they pass, and that's a beautiful life to have a dozen people in your life that like it matters that much. Their existence is a beautiful thing, I think.
Yeah, and it's interesting how, like, I think for me it was weird. Like, when I was a kid, like, death was such an abstract thought. I think that it made it cause anxiety.
Yes.
But now, like, sort of seeing the reality of it as a kid, it's the sadness. It's like you feel like the, like, oh, shit, like, that's, like, the end of that chapter.
Yeah.
And so there's been, like, a couple of times in, like, the last, like, year or two where, like, things like that have happened where, like my stepdad, who I'm very close with, had, like, surgery like a routine surgery, and like in the surgery, like he was under anesthesia, and like this like reaction that happens in like 1 in 1,000 people happen, and his like airway closed, and like he like went into convulsions, and like I wasn't there at all. Like I didn't even hear about it until months later, because my mom was like, she didn't want to like stress us all out, because it was this thing that had happened and it was fixed, and like they ended up, it was fine. Like it was like they the doctor described him as my stepdad waking up in the anesthesia and getting hostile.
What?
Like where he, because what happened was his airway closed and they had to like force a whatever kind of like breathing thing
like
down his throat.
Oh my gosh.
And he woke up from the anesthesia and fought the doctors.
Oh. Yeah.
Which is crazy to me, because I'm imagining like the Incredible Hulk or something. Like my stepdad just waking up. He's like the 70-year-old guy who's the sweetest guy in the world. And just him just like throwing doctors off of him and like being crazy. But like they said, like if like he had not been able to breathe for a few more minutes, like he could have died.
Yikes.
And like when my mom told me that story, we were like, it was like, we were all just like hanging out like over, I think it was either Christmas or it might have been like last summer. I can't remember exactly the date. But she just like said it in passing, and it was like this like non thing, because like to her it was like, we dealt with it. He's fine now. He's doing great. Yeah. Whatever. But like when she told me that, it like was this like rush of just like, whoa, man, he like could have died and I wouldn't have even known about it. Like it would have just been this huge thing. And it made me super sad. Just thinking about that. So I know that like, death makes me sad.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Still.
Yes. Good.
Very
good.
Sad.
Good. Yes.
You're not a socio or a psychopath.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Thank God.
Right.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Man, I always thought there's a chance I might turn out on one of those paths.
I had a similar reaction to that one that your stepdad, that you were talking about with your stepdad.
Oh, really?
Where, yeah. When I got an endoscopy a few years back, and you know, they put me out, and
what is an endoscopy?
They put like a camera in a, like,
oh,
a,
right,
like that tube with a camera on it down your throat. And mine, I didn't come out in the middle. Like I just as like when it was over and I came out of the whatever you call it,
the anesthesia.
Yeah, the anesthesia. I was so confused by these strangers that were surrounding me that I wouldn't let them anywhere near me, and the only one thing I knew was that Alana Johnston had brought me to the doctor, and I just made them go and get Alana before I would speak to anyone, and they just pushed me out.
Like being abducted by aliens.
And
it was where's my friend you are all strangers, get away.
Yeah, that's really how I felt. And then Alana came and she told me that like these were doctors that were helping me, and then I was cool.
And you were like, but, oh, really?
Yeah.
Prove it,
right.
Show me their diplomas.
How different does it look, you know, them doing a medical procedure on you from them torturing you? Like, it looks identical to every James Bond movie where like he's strapped down to like a cart. And
I don't ever want to have surgeries.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm.
That's terrifying to me.
You won't even go to the dentist.
No, and or the doctor. Yeah. I'm going to be a person who dies from a thing he ignored, for sure.
What, do you have any
like
physical...
Like a Jim Henson kind of thing?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. What happened to him?
Pneumonia, and he just didn't treat it.
I mean, something like that, I would... I think I'm scared of, like, big surgery. Like, the idea of having, like, go under and stuff like that. But, like, I'll go to the doctor if I have a sore throat and just be like, I have a sore throat, give me some antibiotics.
Yeah.
But, like, in terms of, like, getting, like, a thing that seems like it could be bad checked out, I'm so bad at it. Like, I just, I the anxiety of, like, going to a doctor and being like, well, there's this thing that is weird and I'm embarrassed by it, or, like, I'm, like, I, like... I'm like scared of it, so I just don't want to do it.
And then the other end of the spectrum, like, and I don't even mean like the opposite of people from you. I was in the exact same boat, and then all of a sudden I started going, and now I want to go
all the
constantly. Time, every single time, like because those are the two extremes of the same thing. It's like it's essentially a fear, you know, it's like it's a fear that you don't want to do anything about, or that you don't want to find out about, and it's a fear that you want to really get to the bottom of. immediately.
Yeah.
They sort of stem from the same.
Yeah. It's hard to find a reasonable middle ground. Yeah. I feel like it's hard to be like, well, this is the time I should go.
Yeah.
And this is the time I shouldn't. It does feel much easier to either be all or nothing.
Yeah. And anytime I've ever had anything serious, like I had mono once in college. Mm-hmm. And I was not going to like go to the doctor or anything, but like I woke up one morning and I could like barely breathe. And then I ended up going to like urgent care, and the doctor was just like, if you had waited like two more hours, your throat would have swollen shut and you could have died. Like, cause I went in and it was just like my tonsils and like throat were just like swollen, and they had to like give me this like huge shot of steroids and like antibiotics. And the doctor was like, literally, if you had waited a couple more hours, you could have like died.
Those, if you had waited a couple more hours, are
that.
The source of so many of my like unnecessary trips to the ER.
Yeah.
Because I feel like everybody has a story where it's like, hey, you waited a couple more hours.
Waited a couple more hours.
Die.
That thing inside of you could have exploded and poisoned your whole body.
Do you have anything right now that you should get checked out?
I don't think so. I mean, I have a cracked tooth that I definitely should get checked out. I've had it for years, and I'm terrified.
Does it hurt?
It doesn't hurt at all, and that's why I haven't gotten it checked out.
Yeah. Because
it's like, well, it doesn't cause me any pain.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think what happened, if I'm self-diagnosing here, my wisdom teeth came in. I had room in my mouth, so I have all my wisdom teeth, and like they haven't caused problems, except in the one tooth that's cracked.
It, yeah.
I think my wisdom tooth grew in and cracked my tooth. And then like half of my tooth fell off, but it doesn't hurt. So it's like, well, I guess it's fine.
I think you want to go because it could turn into an abscess.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
The same thing happened to mine. And I did get mine like a week after I got my wisdom teeth out. Yeah. Like the tooth right next to it. Like I ate an egg or something, you know, like, like in the shell and everything, like straight out of the chicken's butt. The tooth just cracked. But it is strange that like it has like, I suppose if it was an abscess,
it would hurt.
Pain. At least a little bit.
There'd be pain. And that's why I don't care. If it starts hurting, I'll definitely think about it.
John Mackey's tombstone. And that's why I don't care.
The one other thing is from when I had mono in college, I went and like got it all checked out. And then, like, a few years ago, there's, like, a lymph node on my neck that, like, stayed swollen.
Oh.
And, like, I discovered it, like, years after mono.
Yeah.
And, like, I got scared because it's like, oh, a swollen lymph node in your neck, that's, like, for sure cancer.
Oh.
And I went to the doctor, and the doctor, like, felt it, and he was like, it's probably nothing, but you should go to an ENT. And so I went to this ENT, and he touched, and he was like, yeah, it's probably not anything to be concerned about. This is like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And he was just like, if it starts growing, just like let me know. So I like have this like lymph node that's like weird on my neck that's like hard and swollen.
Oh.
But they both said it's from mono. Oh. Apparently when you have mono, your lymph nodes will swell, and because they swell like so rapidly and so extremely, like scar tissue can build up inside of them. So they end up feeling like a cancerous lymph node, but they're not. And so like it hasn't grown or hasn't changed in like three or 4 years, so I'm like not worrying about it. But it's like that thing where it's just like he definitely said come back in a few months and let me look at it, but it never did.
Oh no.
Okay. And it's been like 3 years, but it's the same.
But it's the same.
Yeah, nothing's changed. So I'm like, I think I'm fine.
That's the thing that I learned from Dr. Marshmallow, our shared. Well,
oh, yeah, we gave him a code name because he's terrible. And
he's
no, we don't want to out. Yeah. Well, he's good and bad. Yeah, we don't need to get into it. But
basically, we never describe any of the good things he does here, just the bad things. But in this case, it actually is kind of a good thing. When I was going through my thing where I had this condition where I couldn't swallow solid food for like 3 months, and like I was like, all these things are going terribly wrong inside of me, and it's clearly all going to result in death. And just I went in and I was like, roughly I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm dying. And he was just like, you're not dying. He didn't check anything at all. And it was just like, well, how do you know? You haven't even
You just literally walked in and looked at me and said, I'm not dying. You don't know.
Exactly. And that was his response, was that like at our age, and I'm older than you guys, but we're still all young enough where like if we were dying, we would look like we were dying.
Yeah.
And I think that there's most of that is most of the, for the most part, there are going to be exceptions, but for the most part, you think about like all the people that you knew were dying. Dying, they do kind of look like they're really,
they
really
sick.
They lose
a shit ton of weight in like a day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, and the funniest thing, this is one funny story. I had really good health insurance for a little while when I worked at Relativity Media.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a doctor that my friend went to that he really highly recommended. Now I can't go to the guy because my insurance doesn't cover him. But I went to this doctor when I was like, it was like maybe like five, six years ago. Mm-hmm. And I went to get just like a physical. And he like did all the blood work and everything. And he came back into the thing after the tests. And he was just like, you look great, man. Like you could you could lose a little bit of weight, but like you're fine. And then he was like, and I was like, okay, cool. So like, when should I come back for like another physical? He's like, honestly, like until like something happens, like you're probably going to be fine. It was when I was 27. So it was almost 4 years ago. He's like, you're 27 years old. You're basically bulletproof. And I was like, dude,
I love that.
Don't tell me that though.
It's, I know.
Like that's like,
it's
that's
dangerous.
Just, you're literally saying like, hey, anything that seems weird, it's fine. Don't worry about it. And like, there's been times where it's just like, oh, like I had like a weird, like radiating pain in my back, like a year and a half, 2 years ago. And I was just like, I'm probably fine. I'm 20. I'm 29. I'm bulletproof.
Well, and that's it did,
and
like
then
55.
It went away though.
Yeah.
And it went away. And it's those like that thing where it's like, I like usually I think am the kind of person who like I'll let something go for like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And if it's still bad or worse after 2 weeks, then I'll be like, okay, I should like go get it checked out.
Sure, sure.
Because it's like I don't want to be that like hypochondriac that goes to the doctor every week and it's just like, oh, the inside of my nose is burning. Like, hey man, you just have a shit ton of boogers in your nose. Like,
you just snorted fire.
Try cleaning your nose.
That's right. Hey, man, pick it. Put your finger up there.
Oh, I have to blow my nose? I thought I was bulletproof.
I find that I am often fearful and then don't go to the doctor because it takes me such a long time to find a doctor I trust. Yeah, like, this is like, I've talked about this so much on this podcast that friends have
recommended
specifically a therapist because I've been trying to like get into therapy forever.
Everyone I know is everyone I know who starts therapy is like, you really should do therapy. It's great.
My very best friend Michelle is a therapist. She's the best. I have known truly for like a decade about like the value of therapy and just like balancing your shit out and like just making sure you're not dumping it on the people in your life that you love and like or starting a podcast specifically to feel like you have an appropriate space to voice all your fears.
I don't do therapy. I have a podcast.
I have a podcast. So I have found therapists for other people. Like, I know how to fucking do it. Like, I know how to find a good therapist and I have not done it for myself because I tried one time and I got a bad one and went twice and was like, I couldn't ever do it again.
That's the thing that I, because I have for a while, my brother started doing therapy and he loves it. My roommate does therapy. Like a few of my friends have like started recently and they're all like, oh man, this is like, it's really changed me. It's like made me feel a lot better. But like the thing for me is like, I don't like dating. Like I don't like talking. I don't like, the first time you talk to someone is so scary to me and just like so like I sense so much judgment when there is none.
Yes.
Like the idea of me expressing my like deepest real truths to someone who's a total stranger and the idea that like, hey, they might suck.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, I just told you all this real shit about myself and you suck.
Yeah.
And now you know this stuff, even though I'm never going to see you again. I'm never going to like run into you in public and know that you know this about me. It's still just like, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want this person to know anything about me if like they're not going to be like a person who I have a relationship with. And so like that's the 100% the reason that I haven't done it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I just don't want those like that like first moment of like also the idea of like making small talk with a therapist because that will happen for sure. I'll sit down and be like,
what
do I talk to you
about? And they're like, I can't tell you. It's not appropriate.
It's stuff that I don't really want to talk to you about.
And that's why a lot of people end up in therapy because after like a few sessions, you just like show up and you just start talking about yourself and then you don't worry about this other person's feelings. Like if you come into this room with your friends, if it's your friends, one, your friends know all these things about you. And then every time you see them, you're reminded that they know all these troubling things about you. And then, you know, on top of that, like, you feel a sort of a sense of obligation to them as well, wherein like one of the things I learned about the pilot class is that like people are really happy to throw a little bit of money at you and then just feel like you're obligated to do a thing. And that's what a therapist is just like they're obligated for 50 minutes out of the hour to sit there and listen to whatever crap you want to spew on. Yeah. Let me preface this by, or no, I guess not preface because I've been talking for a while. Let me post fist this by by saying I don't go to therapy either. I've been to a shit ton of therapy. I started when I was 9. I think I've been to like somewhere around a dozen different specialists in one form or another. I was very crazy when I was a young person. Got kicked out of everything. This is very true. I told Madeline I would never tell any of these stories on the podcast, and I still won't. But I had a lot of problems when I was young.
He will someday.
And, because now it's like basically the equivalent of that fear of feeling you have about the therapist, but with a bunch of strangers, but I can't even see their faces. Like they're just out there. They're
any
bound
person
by
on the street.
Any person
could
on the
be
street.
With someone who knows something about you
and has no obligation to keep it a secret, like a therapist would.
That man, see, but that's like to me, it's like that feeling of like people knowing shit about me, like extends into so many parts of my life.
Oh, interesting.
And it prevents me from doing a lot of things just because I don't want people to like have anything on me.
Like what?
Like even just like down to like I will create an excuse for me to do anything that so that in my brain it's justified for people around me. So like for example, if I like if I was coming here, I got out of my car and I left like my phone in my car or my sunglasses or something, and I needed to go back to my car and get it. I couldn't in my brain just turn around and go back to my car and get it. I would have to create a scenario that I can physically enact that would justify me turning around to get my things.
You need to have that face where you're like,
yes,
exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, or I've like, done that
I
before
need,
too.
I need to like physically like perform for the world. Forgetting my keys or like forgetting
yeah,
my,
yeah, yeah, I do
and like
too.
There's so many times where like or like I'm like or I will be going somewhere and I will like look at my phone and act as if I got an alert of some sort just to change my plan, and I do that all the time because there's just something in my brain that doesn't let me like be vulnerable to the the world around me, so I always have to like have a reason that I've done something. Even if no one else cares.
Do you
no
have fake conversations on your phone?
I don't have fake conversations. I think a step beyond where I'm at. But I will.
We're beyond you. Yeah.
Well, I will like pretend to be listening to a voicemail.
That's great. That's very reasonable.
Rapidly respond to like an email and never send it. They just like go into my email, just and then like go and do something. It's just so stupid.
I've kept fake conversations going after they had to because I forgot that they were fake. Like I didn't forget, like I didn't think someone was responding, but I just continued on. Yeah. Like I would say something into the phone as a fake statement, and then felt like it needed further explanation. And I would keep going.
You can't just stop. That would be rude.
People would be on to me. Like I just like I genuinely fear that people will catch me in every single lie that I tell.
Yeah,
that's the biggest mistake I ever made. Was on one of the early episodes of this podcast, let on that I've never actually had a migraine, and that any time I've said I had a migraine, which is rare, this is not like a thing I would do a lot, but like,
that
was my
headache.
Easy excuse. if I didn't want to go to something because I was like burnt out from a long week and like kind of had to do something early the next morning instead of saying that, I would just be like, dudes, I'm so sorry, I have a migraine, and now I can't. I said it with the full knowledge that I was like just outing myself, and now I can, that excuse is gone to me just based on the minute chance that enough people listen to this podcast that somebody would know that and it like and they would disbelieve that I had a migraine.
So now Madeline goes with she's washing her hair like the alternative 1980s sitcom
that's
excuse
so
for not
funny
going
to me. How like that excuse is so funny.
Washing
the,
my hair.
The idea that was ever acceptable.
So
how
funny.
Long could that possibly take? Like really?
Back in the day, was it more of a process? Maybe because
how long does it take with all your hair?
I mean, you do have more
wash
hair
my
than
hair.
Me.
It doesn't take a lot to wash it, but it takes
to dry it.
If I want to dry it, usually, you know, like today I like came here with my hair wet because who cares? And
because fuck you, Ben.
Yeah. This is not a visual medium.
To be clear, I couldn't care more that you look like you walked in off the street. I'm in a full tuxedo underneath my shorts and t-shirt, but I'm in it.
I can see you have the tuxedo pants rolled up just above the hemline of your camouflage.
You gotta
shorts.
Get a good roll on your tux pants.
Yeah, if you don't roll them properly, they'll end up creased.
Yeah. They really will. Yeah. And then you can't return them the next day after the podcast because I gotta bring my tux. I got the tags on the tux still. Anyway.
Yeah. No, we're weird, man. We're weird brains.
Yeah.
Brains are crazy.
It's so weird that that I want to is not a, doesn't feel like enough of a justification to do something. I know. I always even if I've known picking a restaurant, if someone is I never
just say
I never
I don't like that place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I get so excited when someone has a place they want to go and I don't have to express what I want because it feels I feel it is not enough of a justification. Same thing as if missing an 11 o'clock improv show. It never feels enough to just be I just feel so weird and tired. Yeah, right. I gotta stay home.
I recently have gotten better about being honest with stuff like that.
Yeah.
If a show, doing improv shows or doing a show, if a show's at 11, I'm hey guys, that's too late. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's a freeing experience enough that it should infect everything else in my life because it felt so good. The first time I was just oh, no way am I going to do that show at 11 o'clock on this time at this day. And just being honest with people, it felt so good. But it's that's literally the only thing that I do that for now.
That's still huge, improv shows. I think. And you should be proud of that.
I think
that's huge.
Thank you.
A big part of the stepping stone is just hearing that people don't really give a shit.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Nobody cares about anything. In my brain,
there are a few things that people will care about. And they're honestly, it's there are probably two or three things in your whole life you absolutely have to go to.
Yeah. And that's
and one
the thing,
of them is an improv show.
Realizing that is true is such a great thing that no one cares at all.
No.
No.
And if
no
they do, they suck.
All.
Right.
If somebody's really mad at me because I don't want to do an 11 o'clock on a Thursday improv show, then they suck.
Right.
I don't suck.
No.
They suck for caring.
Right. I mean, would you care if somebody said it to you?
Not at all.
Then they probably don't care either.
Yeah. No. Especially if they were honest with me.
Right.
Just being hey, that's crazy. I don't want
to
do it.
I know. It's crazy to just that it feels hard to just be honest about the things that you a little bit want. And when it's something you I have no problem whatsoever not doing something because I have another commitment or but it's
when it's
crazy
just
how
a
much
feeling.
I need the sense of obligation to justify doing anything.
And if you think about it, because we brought this up a half dozen times on this podcast because I think it's funny. Yeah. That thing that you being just sick enough to get out of doing things that's what we're saying about a migraine. Yeah. I'm not going to die, but you feel bad for me in saying if I just said I had a headache, you would feel you'd be oh, that sucks, but you should be here. If I say I have a migraine, you sympathize.
Yeah.
You recognize that's enough to keep me from having to do this thing. And I get to do the thing that I want, which is be just, at least in this case, pretend, but just sick enough to not feel obligated.
Yes.
And the obligation isn't to them.
No.
It's the obligation that you have to feel bad for being less than your ideal self. And that doing an improv show on a Thursday night has nothing to do with your ideal self.
Nothing to do. But I'm always worried that little by little, I'll just dismantle my identity as a person who follows through on her word.
Yeah. It's I discovered that if I find out that I can smoke weed at a job, I will always smoke weed at that job. The worst thing to find out is that I can do it, that's why I can't ever go to class stoned because I probably could,
Everyone needs to know that don't tell Ben if he can smoke weed in anywhere.
Pretty much tell me I can never smoke weed and I actually am a pretty good boy.
Not in the current climate of this world, man. Yeah. You're about to be able to smoke weed whatever the hell you want, bro.
Yeah, once we get out of Jeff's session.
All the way legal.
Speaking of smoking weed, should we take that quiz?
Wait, which quiz?
We have a choice of two. We could kind of play two different games. So we have a quiz that we've been curious about taking at some point on this podcast about whether you have an addictive personality.
Oh, I know the answer.
Which we thought
that.
It could be interesting because
you think you do.
Yeah. Well, because that's why. Because you don't.
I don't do any drugs or anything. But I mean, I'm sitting here with two tall boy Diet Cokes in front of me, and I think that that's worse than every other drug.
Should we do you have that? Should we
Madeline's
take a
sitting
quiz?
Here with a couple with two tall boy
tall boy boys.
Two tall boy boys. Yeah.
Also, just for the audience out there.
Oh.
That
honestly,
was not
we should get $1 million from Diet Coke for how good that sounds.
Wasn't that the perfect? That was the perfect sound effect. In fact, I want to cut that out of this episode and just have it.
And anytime anybody gives you shit for drinking Diet Coke, just play that.
Yeah. Also set it as my text alert.
Yes.
Every time I get a text.
Just as a sidebar, as someone who I'm a Diet Coke drinker.
I know that about you.
People give you so much shit, and so much of the time, I would never say this because it's like an asshole thing to say.
Yeah.
But so much of the time, I want to be like, well, you drink three fucking beers three times a week. That's not better. Can we just agree everybody needs a thing?
Yeah, I think that.
like just relax.
Yeah, I think for me.
That was
people,
the least relaxed anyone has ever said. Just yeah. relax.
I think for me, people recognize Diet Coke as such a part of my identity now that it's like, it's almost like a like form of like bonding when they know about me, when they're like, oh, well, John loves Diet Coke. It's like, oh, you are a real friend of mine. You know this personality quirk.
Yeah. No. Like, I'm talking about when like people, that doesn't bother me. I love when people know what I like and I like it even more when it's a dumb thing I like.
Yeah.
But like people who like, I've been like on set and have someone who is not even a like someone who's an acquaintance, like
some guy
feel the need to comment on my
cigarette, saying you drink a lot of those Diet Cokes,
like,
don't you?
Bring it, like drink a Diet Coke, and they'll be like, ugh, you know, that's worse than the regular kind. And I'll be like, what are you like? What are we
worse
talking
in what
about?
Way? Which way? Which kind of worse are we talking
I'm
about?
Having a can of Diet Coke. You don't know anything else about my life, but like, what? Like, and it feels like people. Would like feel like it's okay to say that about Diet Coke in a way that they would never like go to someone smoking.
Yeah.
And neither would I, because
like
it's
beer.
Insane.
Like you're implying that someone's an alcoholic. Like if you say like having another beer, huh?
Yeah.
That's literally saying, huh, you're an alcoholic, aren't you? Like, and I mean, I get it that it is pretty funny that I am addicted to drinking 16-ounce cans of Diet Coke. It is comedic.
Yes.
How much Diet Coke I drink.
Yes.
If you saw my recycling bin, I mean, the recycling bin in my house is like, honestly, it's like when you know the scene in like Mad Max, Fury Road, when they release the water and everybody kind of goes underneath it. Like that, my recycling bin is that for like people who pick recycling cans in my neighborhood. like every day, like literally almost every day, I see like another person like sneaking up to my recycling bin and just pulling out the like mountain of Diet Coke cans. Probably honestly put someone's kid through college with the number of cans that I have provided for them.
Do you prefer can?
Oh yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's the same.
I don't like the bottle.
Bottle gets
fine,
hot. Bottle gets hot too quickly.
Yep. Yep.
It goes flat too quickly.
Amen.
I also like I don't like the like smushiness of it.
I don't either. And
there's just something very satisfying about the.
It is.
And I like it out of the can. Yeah. I don't want it in a cup.
No, true. Don't give me a cup.
No,
of
I want
ice.
That metallic. No, I want it cold from the fridge in a can.
Yes.
True story. I wrote in a award-winning piece of prose about the sound of the crack when a can opens.
Gets open?
Yeah, like
really?
It was about
award-winning.
Award-winning.
What award?
How can we?
I don't know. This was so long ago.
It's like
Well, the person I know who owned it is dead, so that's an issue.
Oh yeah.
And I could probably find it. I'll bring it in.
I would love that.
It was, I can't remember, it was something called, it was like the Symphony of Coke or something.
Oh,
it was good.
Amazing.
It was one of the best things I've ever written. I mean, I didn't smoke weed at the time, so it was one of the first focused things I ever did, or the last focused things
I wrote
I
an award-winning piece about, like, how only lame people play the clarinet. And I still think that's one of the best things I've ever written.
I wrote, not to, like, seem superior, but I wrote an award-winning essay on Martin Luther King Jr., so.
Huh. Oh, damn.
Yeah, I was in fourth grade, and I won a interesting prize. I won a remote-controlled police car, which is a strange prize, and I got to read my essay at the local Martin Luther King Jr. celebration.
I read my essay somewhere, too, but no one gave me a cop car.
I was 9.
I was 18.
And it was objectively bad.
I was 18. I didn't read mine anywhere, but I went to an award ceremony.
Look at us. We're all winners.
At
yeah.
us.
Yeah. Hey.
What a bunch of winning losers.
do we want to take that addiction quiz?
Let's leave it to John. John, would you rather play an addiction quiz or would you rather play a Yelp-based quiz?
I mean, just because I know the result of the addiction quiz. Yeah. Or I don't know, and that's I would be interested in doing that.
I'm kind of curious to see.
Just because I have a specific way that I view myself,
yeah, okay.
And it's the basis of my choices in my life.
Yeah.
The choice to not drink and do drugs is because I assume I have an extremely addictive personality.
I have the same.
So
yeah,
I would like to. I would enjoy getting to know a little bit more about myself in that regard.
So this is an interesting quiz because it doesn't just say things like, do you have a problem with drugs? You know, in which case we'd be like, yeah,
it's
you probably
more of
have an
like personality.
Yeah.
Cool. So interesting. Like, okay.
Okay. First question. And keep in mind, one of the reasons that I was hesitant to do this is that I don't like the answers that they give. I like the answers are fine. The way that they word the answers is a little bit too laissez-faire for me. It's a little too casual.
Okay.
So, okay. Do you partake in activities where you know you have little to no chance of beneficial gain? A, nah.
Nah.
N-A-H,
Who made
nah.
this quiz?
Play buzz, of course. If it's B, if it's fun, sure. C, maybe once or twice. Or D, yes, it's all about the rush.
I think, if it's fun.
Okay, if it's fun, sure. Okay. You're 100% full from a big dinner. How tempted are you by that delectable dessert? Oh, I go for that dessert, A. What kind of dessert? B, I'll probably eat it anyway. C, I really don't need it if I'm full. D.
What was the first one?
Oh, I go for that dessert.
Oh, I go for that dessert.
Okay.
You're right. These answers are horrible.
They're
so really
silly.
Nah, in the first
one.
I might play along on my
Oh, that's a good idea.
Do
you have the...
I'm just Googling. I think I can find it. If not, keep going. If not, we'll just do it later.
Okay. Yeah. Will a little bit of something bad actually kill you? A, it will still have its consequences. B, not at all. C, just once won't hurt. D, not for a long time, exclamation point, for some reason. There was an
exclamation
point.
Well, that's saying the inevitability of it having problems. Like, who cares?
Yeah, that one feels
like more of a who cares. Sorry, what are the first two options?
It will still have its consequences or not at all. It won't.
And what's the question?
Will a little bit of something bad actually kill you?
A little bit of something bad? Not at all.
Okay. Yeah, you are addicted.
But it's true, though, right?
Yeah,
true.
A little bit of something. Well, but sometimes it can.
Well, the cocaine. There was that basketball player that did cocaine one time and died.
But he did like a bunch of coke, right?
Did he? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Will Donegan, tweet at us. okay. Adam, did you have something that you want to say?
No. Okay. Mostly just that I keep, every time I hear a story about like, a person doing like the reason like I'm scared to do psychedelic drugs is I feel like, and I don't think I will, it's because I feel like every now and then you hear a crazy story about someone who broke their brain forever.
Right.
It's your spine. That stuff never leaves your spine.
Like, okay. Yeah. That's the full nail
it's
in
bad.
The coffin. I ain't
it's
doing
terrible.
It.
Yeah. You should. Yeah. Anyway. this is a good one for you, John.
Great.
How many stimulants do you consume in a day? Parentheses, coffee, chocolate, energy drinks, etc. And this one has five answers for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
A, like, comma, two different types of stimulants.
Yeah, I'm reading along.
It's really
These answers
stupid,
are
right?
so silly.
They really upset me.
Yeah.
I don't drink caffeine or eat junk food, so that one's
Who
not
are
an
you?
Option
you hate
for
you. Your life?
Yeah.
Is there one that's I only drink caffeine?
Yeah, more or less. About three or four different types. D, the usual cup of coffee or a piece of chocolate. E, more than I can count.
Okay, is the question types or is it number of drinks?
So it says how many stimulants do you consume? So I think that the about three to four different types is a weird answer that it doesn't really apply. So let's just say because now they're really just getting into who cares? Like if you drink two cups of coffee and two cups of Diet Coke or four cups of Diet Coke / coffee, what's the difference? So we'll just say that three or four times. Two times. So
if that's the truth, more than I can count.
Okay, more than you can count.
If we're going to just go with number of.
Okay, I'll do the same thing for me.
Okay. Right. Next question. This is a weird one. Choose a member of the Forever 27 Club. You know the Forever 27 Club?
People who've died.
27 Club, yeah. So now we've got
I don't even know who a lot of these people. They're pictures.
The top one, I'm not sure. Who is that? Is that Aaliyah?
That's Amy Winehouse.
Oh, I thought that was Amy Winehouse.
Oh, Amy Winehouse is both the banner photo and one of the options.
Oh, okay. So Jim Morrison, and it's two different pictures of Amy Winehouse that don't look similar. Yeah.
Who's this lady?
Jim Morrison, the one on the right, is Janis Joplin.
Oh.
So Jim Morrison, no one, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, Amy Winehouse, Kurt Cobain.
I mean, I don't identify with any of them, but I just because I like Kurt Cobain the best.
Okay. Kurt, Madeline, are you taking the quiz too?
Yeah, I like Kurt Cobain the best, but
I remember I took Kurt Cobain.
Okay, I'll do the same thing.
Everybody just likes Nirvana.
I just didn't really like
I love Nirvana.
I went to the Nirvana Museum in
Seattle?
Yeah.
Cool.
It's really fun.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
I think I actually ended up choosing Jimi Hendrix because he seemed like the most, like that Kurt Cobain seemed like much more angry, sad, and and like drug addled than I could ever see myself.
Oh, now I'm scared. Yeah, you're right. Go over to Jimi Hendrix.
I don't think we can.
Damn. All right, it's fine. I'm sure it won't affect anything.
Do you use over-the-counter medication? A, yes, frequently. B, when I need it. C, I try my best not to. D, I use a few specific kinds.
That's like Advil and stuff?
I think a few specific kinds would mean like Prilosec or like an everyday kind of over-the-counter thing. And
I use
when I need it would be like Tylenol.
I use Zyrtec for allergies.
Oh, yeah.
And Advil pretty frequently. So what do we think that
we'll say when I need it. Yeah. Do you do the Zyrtec every day or just when you have a
just
reaction?
Just when I'm having a
Yeah, I'm sad. I use Advil and then sometimes Benadryl if I have to fall asleep.
That's not what it's used for.
But a lot of people use it that way. Because it's like not
suicidal people.
No, it's no big deal. I take 20 Benadryl.
I promise it's no big deal.
Okay.
I crunch them up and snort them.
I'd try it. is social networking an integral part of your daily life?
This picture is insane. Look at this picture. That lady's dipping her head into her computer.
Yes, that is.
Look at the picture, and I'll ask a different question. Would you let a plant fuck you in your butt?
Yes.
A, yes. B, yes. is social networking an integral part of your daily life? A, I check my apps daily. B, it depends on the day/if I'm bored. C, not really. D, I Instagram, Facebook, almost everything.
I'm in between. I check things. I'm on Facebook on my phone whenever I'm bored. I don't post things. I don't like post on Instagram and Facebook all the time.
That's why I check my apps because I look at other people's, but I don't use them much.
Yeah, I'll say check. I check it. Okay. I check.
Mm-hmm. Is that, I don't. I check them, but I don't have any of them on my phone.
I think,
and if I'm like having a nice day, I don't look at them. Like I only do it on weekdays, and like never. Like if I'm ever enjoying myself, I never check my shit. Like if I'm on vacation, I never look at it once. Yeah.
What
is that?
If you're not in the lowest category, you'd be in the second lowest.
So
but
it
I can't
depends
what
on
they
the
are.
day/ if I'm bored.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay. When you experience a pleasurable sensation, this is a good one. I think this is an important one.
Yeah.
How soon after do you need it again? This one has six options for some reason. A, I can wait long enough until the sensation is special again. B, almost immediately. C, about a week or two. D, maybe I can wait a few days. E, I can wait a prolonged period of time. God, there's so many answers.
I know.
F, it depends. So the last one just ruins everything.
We can just leave F off, I think.
Yeah, let's leave F off.
So
prolonged every few days.
I go for, like, I do. If I like something, I go for it.
Immediately.
What's an example?
Well, it's like, I think it's the same thing. It was Diet Coke for sure.
It's
one thing. But I also go on these like kicks. So like I went to Hugo's Tacos today.
Oh yeah.
And I only did that because 2 days ago I had Hugo's Tacos and I was like, those are great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't like, it's like, oh, I get in these like little funks where it's like variety is not a thing I care about. It's like, I want the thing that I like and I go and do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think it's the same thing. Like in a lot of things, like if I like start watching a show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's like I'm just like go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think that I just like I if I like something I go
too.
Hard.
I had never had ramen before 2 months ago, and now I would say I haven't had it less than twice a week.
Yeah.
For since.
It's me and Chipotle. I eat Chipotle probably four times a week.
And the thing with Chipotle is that, like, and this is a rare thing for me.
I get the same thing every time, too.
I was going to speak just opposite to that. Like, I've never not liked a new thing that I got there, which is a problem because most things, if I get just one thing, I'll eventually get sick of it. Yeah. But like, you know, I basically tried that new Chipotle chorizo yeah. thinking like, how good could they do it? And it was good.
Yeah.
And now I actually get it with the chicken as well. So it's a more okay. I think this is the last question, but maybe not. Do you make decisions based on short-term desires or long-term consequences? Short-term wants, A. B, long-term consequences. C, a combination of both. D, we'll leave D off. It depends on the temptation, but fuck that.
Too much it depends.
No. Basically, all of the answers are dependent.
One of the
really
answers will be
it.
Like, well, we don't really know. You didn't give us enough information, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why'd you take this quiz?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, the answer is just, that was fun. short-term needs. So short-term needs, short-term wants, long-term consequences, or a combination.
I'm a short-term boy.
Wants or needs?
How they word the question?
Do you make decisions based on short-term desires?
Oh, no. I'm impulsive. I'm impulsive. What so I wants. Wants. Yeah, for okay. sure. Mm. I buy so many shoes. I bought 40 pairs of shoes in the last, 2 years.
I want to see, have you taken pics of all of them?
Not all of them, but I have so many.
I love shoes.
So, John, you did.
You're scary, is what it says.
Well, I will say that the description of your answer starts with the word whoa. That's true. That's true. That's true. So you got addictive personality. And here's
whoa,
the response.
Whoa.
Joey you Lewis. Have an addictive personality exclamation point. Somewhere out there is something special that you emotionally and physically attach yourself to, allowing this particular temptation you consume to consume you whole. This can be food, alcohol, cigarettes, maybe it's even sex, exclamation point. However, we just want to remind you that it is possible to have a healthy, more moderate version of a relationship with these things and to not let addiction get too out of control. Enjoy what you love.
Fuck you, man.
Seriously, don't preach it, our boy. Those last little bullshit bit is enjoy what you love to the appropriate extent and you'll be just fine. You have the strength in you. Now let the power out. Thank you for that preachy bit of advice to a person you've never fucking met in your life.
Play
Whoa,
Buzz.
Man. Play Buzz.
Play
Whoa.
Buzz.
Whoa. Hey, screw you, man.
Screw
I'm fine.
You. Yeah.
No, it's weird. It's crazy how I can be so aware of...
All right, that's our podcast. Yeah.
Oh, tacos and tacos. Just going crazy. Everybody get ready. It's crazy how I can be so aware of how addicted I am to Diet Coke and to other things and still be like so unwilling to change it.
That's addiction.
Yeah, that's the addiction. Yeah.
Right?
I guess.
Yeah.
Well, that's what all these things say is that, like, I mean, that's why I picked the quiz that I picked because it didn't just ask you questions that were like, can you stop doing a thing that you're addicted to?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah.
Because here's the thing. I, for 3 months, 2 years ago, stopped drinking Diet Coke cold turkey for 3 whole months.
How did it?
It was a bet. I got bet. I was bet that I couldn't do it, and I did.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that, when pressed, I could stop.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I just don't want to.
No.
And what it's going to take, I've said this, it's going to take a doctor saying, hey, if you don't stop doing this, your heart's going to explode.
Yeah.
And the problem is, I ain't going to the doctor. And the doctor, last time I saw him, told me I was bulletproof. So I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, and there's nothing that they can do about it.
That doctor.
That doctor, yeah.
That doctor, I mean, he was the nail in the coffin.
He really toast. Was.
I love the term nail in a coffin to describe a doctor.
Yeah. That doctor's opinion was the final nail in my coffin. Oh, my God.
John, it's been great having you on the podcast.
Guys, thank you so much for having me.
You want to throw a plug out there? What do you love?
Well, what do I love?
Yeah.
I mean,
DietCoke.com.
MasterChef Junior is real good right now. This new season's really good.
Really?
I love that. I love
it. It's a good show.
Fun.
I'm on Twitter at It's John Mackey. You can also follow Big Grind at my sketch group at Big Grind at UCB. We have videos on YouTube. We also have our podcast, The Teacher's Lounge, on Howl.fm. I think it's moving to Stitcher.
Oh, cool.
Which is like the new thing.
I don't, Stitcher.
Yeah. We're going to be on like Stitcher Premium. I guess there's like a premium setting there. I don't know. Anyway, look for it on the internet. You can also get to it on our Twitter. It's like in our like pinned tweet or whatever. And then, yeah, you can come see Winslow on Friday nights if you're in Los Angeles, 9:30 at UCB Franklin. Yeah, I think that's all that's cool about me. If that's even cool. I don't
cool.
Okay, good, great. Yeah. Good, cool. Very cool. Awesome. Then cool. I feel good.
Yeah. Hey, baby, you're cool.
Oh, thank you so much. No, but thank you for having me. This was very fun.
You're cool, too.
Oh,
hey, you guys, you're both real cool, too.
Hey, thanks.
Zig. Hey, Zig. You're cool.
What a great way to close things down. This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes, and you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Definitely Dying.
Until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.